go to the book of Galatians, chapter 5. You know what? Yeah, go to Galatians 5. I want to try to be a blessing to the people here.
Man.
I'll be honest with you, last night I preached, I felt like just a big flop and a failure. And I don't know if it was me, I don't know what it is, but sometimes when you preach, it seems like the Lord just gives you the words to say, and it's just as easy as pie.
Right.
Then there's times when you preach that you feel like you have to wrestle to say every word that you say. Well, last night was one of those nights. So you pray for me tonight.
Amen.
And, you know, there's people that probably no telling what kind of thoughts that they have in their head. But I pray for you. And I'm not just saying this. There's not a person sitting in this building right now that I don't get up every morning and pray for you.
That's right.
There's not a single person in here. I know we have visitors. I pray for them every morning.
That's right.
Every morning.
That's exactly right.
And I pray for you. And I pray for the people in this church. And I pray for people that don't even know me. I pray for people that I know, that I've met. They probably wouldn't remember me if I talked to them. But let me tell you something. If anybody in here, Michael, he said, and just in conversation with my dad, he thought the first few years he came that we didn't want him here. You know, there's never been a greater lie hatched out of hell as that. It's amazing what the devil will tell people to try to get them to never see the truth. It's amazing what the devil will tell people to damn them for eternity.
Right.
It's amazing.
Amen.
There's times you get mad at things. I get mad about things because I don't want to see people go to hell.
That's right.
And if I got to make you mad enough to stir you up to get you to think about God, that's so be it. Right. So be it. Well, I want to look in the book of Galatians chapter 5, but it's never been my intentions to make people mad.
That's right.
Never has really been my intentions to make people mad.
Oh, sir.
But I want people to be right with the Lord. That's what I want in everything. And if I didn't, I would just tell things to help you go to hell instead of get saved. But I hope that I don't do that. Try not to do that.
Man.
Well, Galatians 5. The Bible says this. I'll start reading in verse 14. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one of another. For this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if you be led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. These are the works of the flesh. The Bible said adultery, a fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, immolations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, endings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I've also told you in times past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vain glory, provoking one another, envying one another. Well, the thing that I want to point out in the passage that I just read to you is he said, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh.
Amen.
Go to the book of Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. And it's right along the same lines. And I want to read about most of that chapter by the grace of God. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us an offering, a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. When he said walk in love, he told us to walk in love how? As Christ did. How did Christ walk in love? He walked in love in so much that he died for you. That's how you ought to walk in love. He's our example. He is who we're supposed to emulate. The Bible said in 1 John chapter 2, the Bible said, he that saith he abideth in him ought himself to walk even as he walked. You ought to walk like Jesus walked. Not only that, but fornication, verse 3, but fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you, as become the saints, neither filthiness nor foolish talking nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words. For because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. But be not ye therefore partakers with them. For you are sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. There it is again. He's telling us how we ought to walk. We ought to walk as children of the light. The Bible says this in the book of 1 John. He tells us that this is the message which we have heard of him. I quoted it last night. That God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. The Bible tells us that men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds are evil, and will not come to light, lest their deeds should be reproved. They will not come to the light, lest their deeds should be made manifest, because they're ungodly. And they do not want to be made manifest before Almighty God. One of the most fearful things for people to do is to be honest before a holy God who they really are, deep down on the inside. Right, ladies and gentlemen, the Word of God's quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. The Bible tells us, preach the Word. Be instant in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. The Bible tells us about the Word of God, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his ways? Right. By taking heed thereto according to thy word. The Bible said in Psalms 119, thy word is very pure. Therefore thy servants loveth it. The Bible said, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm talking about the Word of God. The Bible said in the book of 1 Corinthians, I believe that's where it's at, for Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. He said, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God. The power of God's in the Word of God.
Amen.
That's where
that's
it's
right.
at tonight.
That's right.
Ladies and gentlemen, God tells us to preach the Word. The Bible says, cry aloud, spare not. Lift up thy voice like a trumpet. Tell thy people of their transgressions and the house of Jacob their sins. That's what the Bible tells us.
Right.
Well, that ain't the kind of preaching that most people like. But it's what the Bible says. You don't get a lot of meetings preaching the Word of God like that. But that's all right. I'd rather be right with God than get to preach everywhere.
Sir.
The Bible tells us, let no man deceive you. Verse 6, let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with him as the saints of God. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit is all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord, and have no fellowship. Listen, as the saints of God, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done to them in secret, but all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. And whatsoever doth make manifest is light. You know what reveals the truth to people? The light does. The Word of God reveals truth to people.
That's right.
It will reveal to you what you are. Well, wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. Well, that's how Christian ladies ought to behave. You listening? Hey. That's how Christian ladies ought to behave. The Bible said, wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands. You say, well, my husband's a scumbag. Well, you're the one that married him. You're the one that married him. Let me tell you this. I'm not done right there. These men that couldn't care less about their wives, they're not men.
That's right.
They're a bunch of godless little wimps is what they are. Yeah. Let me tell you something. If you mistreat your wife, you're nothing but a godless, little, cowardly little wimp.
That's right.
No, that's all you are. The Bible says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church.
Amen.
But the Bible says he loved it and gave himself for it.
Right.
That's how you're supposed to behave. But I tell you what, we're so full of self and pride and ungodliness. We're so full of watching pornography. We're so full of whatever it is, drinking beer and smoking dope and everything else, that a man can't be a man in this generation today.
Right, boy.
We love sin more than we love God. We love sin more than we love our children today. We love sin more than we love our wives. And women love their sin more than they love their husbands. And you're going to burn in hell with your sin if you don't get saved.
That's right.
That's what the Bible says.
That's right.
Burn in hell in your sin. We love our sin, don't we? I said it last night. We love our sin so much we'd rather be wicked and miserable than to be happy with Jesus. That's how people are. I know some people, they would literally rather go to prison. They'd rather be homeless on the side of the road somewhere. They'd rather their lives be a living hell on earth than to ever submit themselves to what the Bible says.
That's
right. Well, I know people like that. You say, well, I don't feel like it. I don't feel something. Well, I'm glad the Bible doesn't tell us that you have to feel it in order to obey it.
That's right.
Well, I've never had a feeling before, Carl. I'll just be honest with you. I've never been convicted of going out here and murdering people. I've never been under conviction about that.
Right.
Does that mean I should go out there and do it? I've never had a spine tingling sensation up my back to try to convince me whether or not I shouldn't go out here and murder people. I tell you why I don't do it. The Bible says don't do it.
Right.
The Bible says, I'll be honest with you, I've never been under conviction, and I've never had a spine-tingling sensation about not going out and committing adultery.
Right.
But the Word of God says don't do it. So you know what I don't do? I don't do it. By the grace of God, I don't do it.
Amen.
By the grace of God.
Right.
Well, I guarantee you, you know what is amazing about Job? Satan, when he tempted Job, he came to Job and smote him with boils and sores from the top of his head down to the bottom of his feet. You know what else he did? He killed every one of his children. And not only that, but he took away all of his possessions. Had Job just sitting there in a pile of ashes, and his wife said, why don't you just curse God and die and get it over with? Do you know why Satan did all those things? Why the Lord allowed Satan to do that? Satan came to the Lord and said, does Job fear God for naught? Would Job fear God if he didn't get anything out of it? Isn't that something? Right. Some people think that they have to have some kind of a feeling, or they got to have some kind of a blessing, or they got to have something really good happen to them before they serve God. They've got to feel something. Why don't you just obey what the Bible says?
Amen.
Why don't you just obey what the Bible says? But if I feel something, well, ain't Jesus good enough for you?
That's good.
Ain't Jesus good enough? Well, probably not the one most people have today.
That's right.
Well, I just wanted to talk just for a few minutes on this Christian walk. some basic things that I just wrote down, about 7 points that I want to look at today about how to walk with God. The Bible tells us many times how to walk with God. I just want to share some basic things. They seem probably very shallow. But you know what, looking back over the past few years in my life, I understand that these things are pretty important. People are always looking for something that's sensational. But you know what, honest to God truth is, God's a very simple God. He's a very simple God. And the reason why a lot of people don't understand God is because either number one, they've complicated it themselves, or number two, the devil has sold them a bill of goods and made it so complicated and confused them and brought them to a place that they don't understand. They don't understand. And why? You have a passage of scripture for that. The Bible said, "For the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel should shine unto them and they be saved." You know what? When you walk with God, it's very simple. It's very simple.
Yes, sir.
It's so simple. Ladies and gentlemen, illiterate people have got a hold of it and walked with God.
That's right.
Illiterate. What are you talking about? Children don't understand what the word illiterate means. Illiterate means that you can't read. People that can't read have understood the things of God. People that can't read have understood. And they've done mighty things for God.
Right.
People think that you have to be an intellectual. I know people that started churches before they could ever read or write. They couldn't even write their name down, but they started churches and had the power of God.
That's right.
It's that simple. It's that simple. And it's very simple to walk with God. Well, first thing that I want to say about how to walk with God, and you find it in these passages of Scripture that I read. The Bible says, walk in the Spirit. How can you walk in the Spirit? How can you maintain a walk with God? Number one, be obedient to the voice of God. Be obedient to the voice of God. Ephesians 4:30. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. No, God speaks to us by the Holy Spirit of God, by the Holy Ghost. 1 John 2, the Bible said you have that unction from the Holy One and you know all things. You need not that any man teach you, for you, that anointing which you have received, you're taught of it. 1 John chapter 2. Be obedient to the voice of God. And not only that, 1 Thessalonians 5:19. The Bible says, quench not the Spirit. Quench not the Spirit. Then 1 Corinthians 6:12. 1 Corinthians 6:12. The Bible says, all things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Meats for the belly and the belly for meats, but God shall destroy both it and them. Now the body is not for fornication, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. And God hath both raised up the Lord, and will also raise up us by his own power. Know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the members of an harlot? God forbid. What? Know ye not that your body, which is joined to an harlot is one body? For two saith, he shall be one flesh, but he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own? For you are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. You know how God speaks to you? He speaks to you through the Word of God.
That's right.
He speaks to you through the Word of God. He speaks to you by the Holy Ghost. That's how He speaks to you. Let me tell you something that always lines up with what the Bible says.
Amen.
When the Holy Ghost speaks to you. It always does. Let me say this. There's been times when the Lord has spoken to me by the Word of God and told me to go witness to people. You know, there's been times when I've shut that voice off and grieved God greatly.
That's right.
There's been times when the Lord would have me to pray. And I didn't pray. And it grieved God greatly. There's been times when God wanted me to study the Word of God, and I didn't study the Word of God. And it grieved God greatly.
Sir.
I'm talking about being very sensitive to what the Lord would have you to do. He speaks. People say, well, I just don't know about all that. The Bible says, my sheep hear my voice, and a stranger they will not follow.
Right.
My sheep hear my voice. His voice is always holy. It's always holy. Be obedient to the voice of God. You know why? Because if you're not obedient to the voice of God, you will grieve and you will quench the Holy Spirit of God. You will grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Let me tell you something. If you're saved and you're walking with God, you have fellowship with God, you have that closeness with God, ladies and gentlemen, and you go out and you rebel against the Word of God, you disobey the voice of God, let me tell you something. You'll grieve God, and that joy will seem soon to just disappear. Just a little, just disappear. You know what? That relationship, that fellowship that you have won't be so sweet. I'm just telling you the truth. The Bible says, speaking to yourselves in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Let me tell you something. There's a song that God gives to the saints of God.
Man.
But if you're not walking with God, you'll lose that song that you have. You'll lose that song.
That's right.
I'm talking about saved people. When you disobey the voice of God. Disobey the voice of God. That's why I say, be very careful. Be very sensitive to the voice of God. I believe that the Lord speaks to you in such a way that He'd have you to go witness to somebody. And you know what? I've had to embarrass myself time and time again. There was a time I was driving down the road one day. There was a guy that I saw at the gas station. He was a pretty young guy. He worked there. And I was driving down the road, and I passed by that gas station. I didn't know whether or not he'd be it there, because there was always different employees. But the Lord said, why don't you turn around and go witness to that fella in that gas station? And I said, well, Lord, what if he's not in there? And it's like He spoke and said, well, would I tell you to if He wasn't? So I turned around and went to the gas station. And that man was in there, and I sat there and I witnessed to him, and he didn't want to hear a single word of anything that I had to say. But you know what? I was very sensitive to what the Lord would have me to do.
Man.
Might have been the last time that man said, I don't know where he's at today. It might have been the last time he ever had an opportunity to hear the gospel. I ain't seen him since. Be very sensitive to the voice of God.
Amen.
People think that kind of stuff's far-fetched. It ain't far-fetched if you're saved and you walk with God.
That's right.
It ain't far-fetched. I've walked across restaurants. I saw somebody, and they'd smite my heart, and I'd have a burden for them. And a verse would come to my mind, or the thought would come to my mind, why don't you give them a tract, and I'd sit there, or why don't you tell them about me? And think to myself, well, I don't know about walking across the restaurant making a fool out of myself. But you know what? I was pretty sensitive, and I'd go over there. You say, why would you do something like that? I didn't want to do anything. Didn't want to do anything to grieve or quench the Spirit of God.
Man, that's right.
Didn't want to do anything to grieve or quench the Spirit of God. I'm very careful about things because people have their businesses. People have their interests. Let me tell you something. You'll turn people off to the gospel of Jesus Christ. If you go into a restaurant and you take over and the Spirit of God ain't on it.
Right.
But I've known preachers in the power of God get up inside the Cracker Barrel and preach, and people get saved in the Cracker Barrel. Sammy Allen was preaching, and his waitress got saved.
Man.
His waitress got saved in Cracker Barrel. He stood up and preached. I'm talking about being very sensitive.
Yes, sir.
That stuff seems kind of far-fetched to people, but if you're saved and you know God, it won't bother you too much.
That's right.
Sometimes the Lord would have you to pray. Sometimes the Lord would have you to pray. There's been certain times in my life when I felt a great need to pray.
Yes, sir.
And my dad said it just a few days ago, you feel the need to pray and you disobey that. Next thing you know, all hell breaks loose in your home. All hell breaks loose. And you sit there and you think to yourself, if I had only prayed.
That's right.
If I'd only prayed, maybe this wouldn't be going on.
That's right.
Be very sensitive. Very sensitive. There's been times I've been sitting in my prayer closet. Michael can testify to this. not too long ago, I was praying, and I said, Lord, what is something we need to see in our church? What's something we need to see? He said, Psalms 10. Psalms 10. Well, you know what? Michael had been reading Psalms 10, and he couldn't get past it all week long.
Man.
And you know what? I didn't a bit more have Michael in my mind for that. I didn't a bit more have him in my mind whenever I was going through all that. But you know what? The Lord said, Psalms 10. What is it? That God requires things from your past for you to deal with those things.
Right, Lord.
That God requires of you to deal with those things from your past. Let me tell you what the law of God demands. The law of God demands your past. That's why people will go to that. Well, I'm pretty good today. I'll be all right. I'll make it to heaven. I'm pretty good today. No, the law of God requires your past.
Man.
The law of God requires what you did in the past. What it does. And it demands perfection out of you. There's some people, they'll never ever deal with their past. They'll never look at it. They'll never examine it. And they're on their way to hell today and in all manner of ungodliness. And there's some things in their past that they've never dealt with. You know what? There's some people in me and my wife's side of the family. I'm not going to mention their names, but I'll be honest with you. There is some deep-seated bitterness on some things that happened about 30, 40 years ago. I don't know how long it's been, but you know what? To this day, it's never been dealt with. And about everybody in our family's bitter. Am I lying? About everybody's, why? Because they've never dealt with things that they've done
in the past.
That's right. They'll point fingers at this, that, and everybody under the sun. And everybody's done them wrong. And everybody's done this, that, and the other. And what about what they said about me? What about what they did to me? What about what he or she's doing? But they'll never look at themselves and say, I've been a failure in the sight of God. I've been a sinner in the sight of God. They'll never do that. When you try to point at some of those things, they don't want to see it. Blame everybody under the sun. Let me tell you something. You not sin against your brother and your sister. You don't sin against your mama and your daddy. You sin against God Almighty. Let me tell you something. The sooner you can see what you've done to God, the sooner that you can see what you've done to the Lord Jesus Christ, it'll make it a whole lot easier for you to forgive people around you.
That's exactly right.
Make it a whole lot easier. But people don't want to hear. Oh, what are you talking about? I'm talking about being very sensitive to the voice of God. Being very sensitive. Not only that, guard your Bible reading in your prayer life.
Amen.
Guard your Bible reading in your prayer life.
That's right, boy.
Guard your Bible studying. Don't let those things slip. There's been times in my life when I've let both of these things slip very greatly. Very greatly.
Right.
Let me tell you something. It does all kinds of damage in your spiritual life. 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. I really want to say some things to help you tonight. The Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Not only that, Ephesians 4. The Bible says in verse 14, for this I, wrong verse. Verse 14, Ephesians 4:14, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Let me tell you something. You as a, especially if you're a young convert, but you know what? This goes pretty well for everybody sitting in here. It goes pretty well.
Yes, sir.
If you're saved, the devil at some point is very capable and will, if you're not in the Word of God, get into your head.
Right.
He will get into your head and mess your thinking up.
That's right.
Yeah, well, the Bible says who taketh captive at his own will. He does it at his own will. Hmm? Well, how do you guard against the devil? How do you fight against the devil? How do you stand against the devil? He's pretty wise.
Yes.
Let me tell you something. You can be a pretty wise person and you can know a lot of things, but let me tell you something. If you're not in the Word of God, there's no telling what He's liable to do to you. And that's just the reality of it. Not only that, but getting involved in all kinds of false doctrine and false thinking. Guard your Bible reading and prayer life. Stay in the Word of God. Study the Word of God. Study to show yourself approved unto God. Know the Bible. Whenever the temptations of this life come upon you, how do you fight temptations? You fight it by the Word of God.
Right.
Tell you something, how do you know that you're saved? You know you're saved through the Word of God. The Word of God assures us that we're saved.
Sir.
The Word of God, ladies and gentlemen, is the fire extinguisher against the fiery darts of the devil. Ladies and gentlemen, the Word of God gives us the power with God. That's what it does. It gives you power with God. You say, well, I don't know how much you have. Let me tell you something. The power of God is in the Word of God.
Right.
And let me tell you something. If you'll stay in the Word of God, you'll be able to handle the fiery darts of the devil. You will.
That's right.
You stay in your prayer life, God will help you.
Amen.
Those are two things that you sincerely need to guard with all of your heart. Not only that, the Bible says this in 2 Peter 3:18, but grow in grace and in knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. How do you do that? You do that through praying and reading your Bible. It's pretty simple.
Sure.
It's pretty simple. I know y'all wanted some kind of deep theological exhortation or exegesis of the Scripture. Well, let me tell you something. God's a very simple God.
Amen.
And if you don't stay in the Word of God, there's no telling what could happen to you and your thinking. You know what? There's been some things. The other day, I was studying the Bible, and the Lord showed me something about me. A pretty fearful thing. You know, it's actually something that I have dealt with, something I have gone through. But the Lord showed it to me, and I sat there in my little recliner and rejoiced for about 30 minutes.
Sure, that's right.
But I believe it was King Hezekiah over there in 2 Chronicles 32, verse 31. Did you know that God left him? God left King Hezekiah to show him some things that were in his heart.
That's right.
To show him some things. You know what? There's all kinds of thinking that I've had. Why is it that I can't find God? Why is it that I can't find... You know what? Sometimes God will leave you alone. There's some of you that are babes in Christ, but there might come a time where God leaves you to yourself to show you some of the foolishness that's in your heart and some of the bad character that you have and show you what you really are deep down on the inside. God might do that to you.
That's right.
He did it to King Hezekiah. Did it to Job. I know the Bible says, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. God doesn't leave you nor forsake you. But you know what? There's, in a sense, God will leave you and leave you to yourself. God will leave you to yourself. If you want to be left to yourself as a Christian, God will leave you to yourself. He'll let you see exactly what you are. He left Israel to themselves, walking about in the wilderness. Why? To humble them and to show them the things that were in their heart. To humble them. They would see that they couldn't do anything without God. Peter. God left Peter, so to speak. I'm not saying that he left Peter, but he left him, so to speak, on his own.
I understand that.
And the Bible said that Satan had desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. What is that sifting? It's kind of like Job. Does Job fear God for naught? He desired to have Peter that he may sift him as wheat. When you sift wheat, what you're doing is you're removing the false stuff from that which is pure. You're taking and seeing what is it that they have deep down on the inside. Do they have that which is real, or is there something false to separate that which is real from that which is false? Satan had desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. But I've prayed for you. The Lord hasn't left you all together.
Amen.
He never will leave you all together. But you know what? There's times when you first get saved, and it seems, and for me, not everybody has the same experience, but I tell you what, it seemed like when I first got saved, I could just utter my mouth and things would just happen right there as soon as I would speak. It just was going on left and right. And I don't remember everything. I would to God that I would have wrote everything down so that I could sit back and tell people all the things. But you know, I just remember a certain time period in my life that it seemed like everything was going on. I would pray and God would answer my prayer so quickly. And you know, it seemed like I would read something in the Bible and right there, wham, that would happen. Not long after that. And you know what? I'd have an answer to it. And there was times that I'd pray for people. I remember one time I prayed for somebody. They said they couldn't come to church and I had a burden for them. And they're probably still on their way to hell today, but I had a burden for them. I said, Lord, would you bring them to church? Would you let them come this Sunday to hear the preaching? And they said, I cannot come. I have to go do this. Well, the next thing you know, they were at church on Sunday. And they didn't even know why they were there. But they were there. Well, there's all kinds of instances like that. And I've told some of those instances. But guard your Bible reading in your prayer life.
Man.
Guard those things. Let me tell you something. If you let them slip, a lot of times it's hard for you to get back to where you fell off, from where you fell off. Yeah. It's harder to get back a lot of times than it is to backslide. It's harder. And God will give you grace to make it through it all. Not only that, be quick to confess your sins. Book of 1 John, Bible says in chapter 1, verse 7, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin, and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. That confession is more than you just saying, Lord, this is what I've done. But whenever you confess your sins, it is agreeing with God against yourself. It's a thinking the way God thinks about your own sin.
My boy.
And you confess that thing to God. God is faithful to forgive you of your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Let me tell you something. If you walk in fellowship with God, and your prayers are being answered, and you see these things coming to pass. Let me tell you something. It is a whole lot easier if you're walking with God to try to maintain that fellowship with God. Why? Because you don't want to lose that fellowship with Him. You'll do anything to keep that fellowship with Him. Not only that, be quick to confess your sin. Be quick to get things right with God. And not only that, beware of anything that can pull you away from the truth. There's thoughts that spring up that are out of the pit of hell. That's what I was talking about earlier. There's thoughts that come from hell and the devil and his devils. You know what? I've sat in church, and I know what it is. Now, I used to be very ignorant of it. There's people that have come to the house of God with unclean spirits. You'll sit in the house of God as a safe person, and some of the foulest junk will come across your mind, and you'll say, where in the world did that come from? You know what you ought to do? As soon as you can, you ought to get a hold of God over those things.
Right, boy.
Get a hold of God over those things. I told somebody not too long ago, I asked them because I was with them, and I was in a house with them and another person. And for a period of time, I said, you know what? That person has some pretty unclean spirits. I said, how's your thoughts been this week? They said, I've had some of the worst thoughts, and I don't even know why I had those thoughts. I've never thought like that before. I've been under preaching before and have evil thoughts cross my mind. I've been praying and had evil thoughts cross my mind. Where's those unclean spirits? People have unclean spirits. You ought to be very quick to get a hold of God over those things, those thoughts that cross your mind. Let me tell you something. Beware of anything that can pull you away from the truth. Beware of anything that can pull you away from the truth.
Amen. Amen.
And what is that? False doctrine. False doctrine. Money. Money can pull you away from your fellowship with God. Carnal things.
Yes, sir.
Your family. Things that I preached on last night. All those things. They'll pull you away from God. You can't serve two masters.
Right.
Love of money. The love of your family. The love of yourself. Those things will pull you away from the truth. Sin will pull you away from the truth. You know what? There's about three things that get most preachers. Number one, money will get preachers. Number two, women will get preachers. Number three, false doctrine gets preachers.
Right.
Those are about the three main things that get preachers. People say, well, what about popularity? Yeah, popularity is a part of it. But why do you want to be popular? Because there's money in popularity.
Right.
There's money in it. Money's a big downfall of a lot of preachers. Big downfall of a lot of preachers. I've known some pretty good old preachers. They used to stand for the truth and everything else, but they got tired of being poor. They got tired of being poor.
Yes,
they saw some opportunities, and their children tried to influence them, and some other man tried to influence them.
Right.
Now they ain't got a touch of God on their life, and their ministry's as dead as hell.
Right.
Not that I got a monopoly on it all, ladies and gentlemen, but I do know that I can get a hold of God every now and then, and I do know that I have a touch of God on me. And I'm not arrogant about that. May not have much of one right now, but that's all right. Beware of anything that can pull you away from the truth. Anything. 2 Peter 2:18, the Bible said, "For when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they allure through the lust of the flesh, through much wantonness." The lust of the flesh. What pulls people away from the truth? The world does. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life pull you away from the truth. They pull you away from the truth. Not only that, Galatians 3:1, the Bible said, "O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you?" Who hath bewitched you? What happened? They received the Spirit of God. They were saved people. They received the Spirit of God. There was great evidence of it. Great evidence of it. And you know what? They had that, and another preacher came in and preached to them a false doctrine and allured them, some of them, away from the truth. And you know what? Apostle Paul had to go in and remind them, did you get saved because you kept the works of the law? Is that how you got saved? Or did you get saved by grace through faith, and that not of yourselves, is the gift of God? Did you receive that Spirit that you had? Did you receive it through works, or did you receive it by faith? Well, they had to say, well, we received it by faith. Didn't receive it by works. Well, what happened? They were bewitched.
That's right.
They were allured away from the truth through false doctrine. Through false doctrine. Well, ladies and gentlemen, beware of anything that will pull you away from the truth. There's some faults that you might have that will pull you away from the truth and turn you away from that which is right. Not only that, number five, learn to bear the responsibility of people around you. Learn to bear the responsibility of the souls of people around you. Let me tell you something. If people were more concerned about the souls of people around them, do you think that they would argue over little meaningless things? There's churches out there that argue over what kind of carpet that they're going to have. There's people that argue over what kind of AC unit we're going to put in. And by the way, most of them are all about the same thing anyways. There's about two companies that make almost every AC unit. There's people that will argue in their church about what kind of AC unit that they have to have. I have to have American Standard. I have to have Trane. Well, they're made by the same company. They have the same main parts on the inside. They just have a different sticker and a different design on the outside. Made by the same people. There's people that sit and argue about that stuff, and churches will split over little meaningless things like that.
That's right.
You know, there's people they'll get upset about some little thing that a preacher says. They'll get upset about one word. And you know what? There's people that say all sorts of things and come up with all sorts of things. You know what? I've not heard a preacher yet that hasn't made a mistake.
You know what? I heard Brother Asquith preaching the other night, and he missed one word in the Bible and said the wrong word from the Bible. And I can't remember what it is because I don't hold it against him. Because if you ever had to get up here and preach, you'd do the same thing too. Why? Because you're a person. But you know, there's people that'll hold one word against a preacher.
Right.
And they'll hold something that they don't exactly agree with against a preacher, and they'll hold it against them so that they never have to listen to a word that they said.
Right.
Ain't that something?
Yeah.
But you know what? If you would ever bear the responsibility to soul the souls of people around you, it would help you quite a bit. What are you talking about? Well, you have family members going to hell. What do you think is more important? You arguing over some stupid little carnal thing, or your family members going to hell?
That's right.
You know what? Me and my wife, not too long ago, I've confessed it. And you know what? I apologized to my wife, and I've confessed things to the Lord. But you know what? Last week, every time you have a meeting and God shows up, the devil hates it and he fights it all along the way. That's another thing some of you need to learn.
That's right.
You know what? If God's going to do something, you're going to have an opportunity to go do something for the flesh.
That's right.
You're going to have an opportunity. Do you know what? I was sitting there and I was reading my Bible. You know what? I really thought that I was spiritual. If I was spiritual, it probably wouldn't have went down like it went down. But you know, my wife came in there and she only had carnal things to say. And it about made me snap. And I looked at her and I said, you know what, honey? If you bear the responsibility of the souls of people in your family, you wouldn't sit around and first thing you get up in the morning and start talking about carnal things.
Right.
People in our church going to hell, you wouldn't think so much about carnal things. Amen. Hey, I'm talking about having a burden for the people around you.
That's right.
That's, what do you call that? I'm talking about walking in love. I'm talking about walking the way Jesus walked. Jesus bore the responsibility of the souls of men around him. That's how he walked. That's how he walked with God. Ladies and gentlemen, I believe when Enoch walked with God, he walked with the responsibility of the souls of people around him. You want to know how Cain walked? The Lord said, where's your brother Abel? He said, what? Am I my brother's keeper? Am I my brother's keeper? You know why he said that? Because he hated his brother. He hated his brother. The Bible said, not as Cain, who slew his brother because his deeds were evil and his brother's were righteous. He hated his brother. Why? Because his deeds were evil and his brother's deeds were righteous. Hated his brother for it. And slew him. He said, am I my brother's keeper? That's about the mindset of the most church people today. Let me tell you something. There's some people that I know that have claimed they claim to be Christian. They claim to be saved. I don't believe it for a second. There ain't a spiritual bone in their body. And you know what? When it comes time to make a spiritual decision or to stand on the Word of God and to take a stand for Jesus Christ, they will fold in a heartbeat. And let me tell you something. They'll be such a bad testimony for their family.
Right.
And they'll compromise the truth of the Bible to make people comfortable. And they'll take a stand against God just so that they can stand with their family.
Right.
And they don't bear the responsibility of those people's souls.
Right.
You'll say some stupid stuff if you don't. Let me tell you something. If you're concerned about the souls of people, it'll keep you from doing a lot of stupid stuff. Let me tell you something. It'll keep you from hating people that try to get you to hate them.
That's right.
Let me tell you something. There's people that have been in this church that have done everything in their power to get people to hate them. Let me tell you something. I still don't hate them. Thank God for that.
Amen.
Still don't hate you.
Amen.
You know why? Because you're going to go to hell if you don't get saved. Who cares what you might think about me or say about me behind my back or call so-and-so and say, I don't care about that.
Care about your soul.
I don't care about that. I wouldn't care if you ran and tried to run your mouth and slandered me. You're still going to hell and I care about you.
That's right.
There's people that I know run their mouth and hate everything that I stand for. I pray for them every day. Why? Because they have a soul.
Love them.
There's people that I know, preacher sons, that are just as vile and filthy and ungodly. I pray for them every day.
That's right.
And they're still religious, doing activities inside of churches. I pray for them every day. You know, if you ran into them somewhere and you talk to them, they talk to people all the time.
But if they talked to him, and I was to run into him in public, and they had one of their friends with them, they'd probably turn their back and say, that person hates me. You know what? I pray for them every day. Pray for them every day. Why? Because they have a soul.
That's right.
You think it's always easy getting up in the morning praying for people? No, it ain't always easy. Let me tell you something. You'll bear the responsibility of the souls of people around you.
Sure, that's right.
It'll keep you from grieving the Holy Spirit of God. It'll keep you from doing stupid, stupid stuff that saved people shouldn't be doing. It'll help keep you from being carnal.
Man.
If you bear the souls of people around you. Let me tell you something. I didn't really see this till the other day. Yeah, I know most of you probably know this, but you know where the priests in Israel, on their chest, they had those stones.
Mm-hmm.
On their chest. Mm-hmm. You know what that was? That was all the 12 tribes of Israel.
Right.
That was the people of Israel.
That's right.
They bore them on their chest.
That's right.
You know where else they bore them? They had them on their shoulders.
Amen. That's
I'm talking right. about as a saint of God, you've been given a royal priesthood.
Yeah.
You ought to bear the souls of people around you. You ought to bear the responsibility for their soul. You know what? Some of you people in here, you're not saved. I bear the responsibility for that. I bear the responsibility for that. There's people that used to go here, children that used to go here. They couldn't care less about the things God wouldn't spit on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's how much they don't care about Him. They don't go to church. They don't care about the things of God. You know what? You know what I do? I take the responsibility for that.
That's right, boy.
I live with a responsibility for that.
Amen.
There's people that... they don't think very much of me as far as a preacher. You know what? I don't sit and criticize them and run my mouth about them. I think it's my fault.
That's right.
It's my fault that they see me like that. It's my fault that they perceive me that
right.
way.
That's right.
I'm doing something wrong. That's why they perceive me that way. We talk about bearing the responsibility of the souls of people around you. You know what the Apostle Paul said? He said, I have a great sorrow. I have a heaviness and a continual sorrow in my heart for my kinsmen, my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. Romans 9, 1 through 3. He said, for I wish that I could be accursed for my brethren's sake. He said he would be accursed. What does that mean? He would be willing to go to hell.
Yes,
you know who else prayed that? Moses prayed, I'd be willing to go to hell. I don't know if I'd ever pray that. Don't know. But you know what? That's the kind of burden that those men
that's
had.
Right.
Bearing the responsibility of the people around them. Not only that, find a ministry and do it. Find a ministry and do it. You say, well, what about my past? I don't care what your past is.
Amen.
I'll be honest with you. I don't care if you've been married 3 times. If you've been born of God, God has something for you to do.
That's right.
Boy, you say, well, I've committed adultery. I don't care if you've committed adultery. If you've been saved, God's got something for you to do.
That's right.
You know, there's a lot of folks, they sit and they let these things of the past weigh them down so much that they won't even correct their children right.
That's right.
Well, how can I correct my children? Because I've done this. And shame on any woman that would bring up things to her children about what her husband's done to try to tear down that authority in the home. You know what? I don't care if they have done some things bad. If that man's trying to do right, shame on you if you try to destroy that authority. Shame on you. Try to tear that man down. You know what? I've preached against grandmas and grandpas for tearing down the authority of that children have in their life. Tearing down the parents of those children.
Sure,
I've preached against. I don't believe in that. I'm so far against that. You know what? There's been grandparents I've heard run their mouth about the way, oh, your mother makes you dress that way all the time. Well, it isn't necessary. You don't have to do that as a Christian. Grandma ought to have her teeth knocked out. Wicked. I don't mean that literally. I just figure of speech. That's about what I think about it. I'll just be honest with you. That's about what I think about it. People might have a problem. That's about what I think about it. I've seen grandparents destroy the souls of their grandchildren.
That's right.
But
Find a ministry to do.
Amen.
Find a ministry. God has something for you to do. God has something for you to do. Some of you have intelligence about things. You know that you're much smarter than me. Many different things. That ain't very hard to do.
Congratulations.
Very hard to do. I'm a little hick. I got my English education, my basis for English education in Mississippi. The number one worst state in America for education. That's where I got the basis of it. There in Laudy Christian School. I got the basis of it there. But
hurting boy.
But that's why I'm as dumb as I am, I guess. But God has something for you to do.
That's right.
Each person that's born of God has talents, gifts, and abilities. You know what? You're robbing the people of God if you don't use them.
Sir.
When you come to the house of God, you're to bring those gifts to the house of the Lord to bless the saints of God. God has something for you to do within the church. God has something for you to do out there. God has something for you to do. You ought to find what it is. Not only that, you don't have to be a preacher. You don't have to be a Sunday school teacher. God has something for you to do if you're saved. I don't care what your past is. Find something to do for the Lord. Not only that, always keep Jesus as first place in your life. Let nothing, nothing, nothing interfere with your relationship with Him. Determined to obey the Lord no matter what. Follow Him no matter what. Walk with God no matter what. Let me tell you something. I've lived on both sides of it. I have walked with God and I've been carnal. I walked with God and I've been chastened of God. Lived on both sides of it. I'd much rather live close to Him. Let nothing between you and the Lord Jesus Christ.
Right.
Let nothing in between you and Him. You know what? I've grieved God by buying a motorcycle. I've grieved God by buying a motorcycle. You know what? One of the things, some of these guys, they think they can run around with a motorcycle. I, you know, people say whatever they will. But you want to know, there's a whole culture to all that.
Yeah.
There's a whole culture to all that. Let me tell you something. There's women that will show you their body parts while you're driving a motorcycle. And there's a lot of Baptist preachers that like to drive them around. That might be why they like to drive them around so much.
Ooh.
Might be. I know what I'm talking about. You know what? There's a lot of pride to it, too.
Sure.
There's a lot of pride to it. Look at me on this motorcycle. I'm something.
Look good with a helmet on.
But you know what? I look good with a helmet. But you know something? I bought a motorcycle. I was being influenced by some preachers. I went and bought one. I can't tell you why, but I wrecked my motorcycle going about 60 miles an hour. I wasn't doing anything stupid. I wrecked it going about 60. I don't understand. I'll be honest with you, I don't understand how I wrecked it. Destroyed it. You know what? I never saw a motorcycle accident until I bought one. Then I drove up on a man who had both of his legs smashed off and his head was busted on the pavement. He was laying in a pool of blood. He started getting thirsty and we got him a Mountain Dew out of his cooler that he had on his motorcycle. And I don't know whether he lived or not, but the ambulance got there and he was in pretty foul shape. Never saw a motorcycle accident until I got one. Then I saw the results of a man accidentally merging over in front of an 18-wheeler on a motorcycle, killed him, absolutely destroyed him, destroyed the motorcycle. Then I was driving through Pennsylvania. I saw a man wrecked his motorcycle. They picked it up in little pieces. Picked it up in little pieces. They were picking up engine parts. I said to myself, I think it's time to get rid of it. I think it's about time to get rid of it.
Amen.
I think it's pretty clear. About time to get rid of it. You know what? You'll let some things between you and God.
That's right.
You're not careful. The Bible said, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. And let us run the race with patience which is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. You know, you can let sins beset you and weigh you down, keep you from being all that you can be. He said, lay aside every weight, and the sin which does so easily beset you. There's some things, some weights that can keep you from being everything that you ought to be for the Lord Jesus Christ. Dr. Don Green, he was a holy living man of God.
Right.
And one Sunday they ate at the church and everything, and they had a ping pong table. He decided he was going to play ping pong. There's nothing wrong with playing ping pong. Nothing wrong with playing ping pong. But you know, he was playing it on Sunday. You know what? It started getting into his prayer time.
Right.
You know, he said, I'll never play ping pong again. I'll never play it again. Why? That's something that got between him and the Lord. There's nothing wrong with playing ping pong. I'm talking about having that closeness with God.
That's right.
I'm talking about having fellowship with God, having the realness of God in your life. That's something. Don't lose the realness of God.
Amen.
Don't lose that closeness with God. Don't lose that desire with God for God. Whenever you do sin, whenever you do let your little flesh, your carnal nature, get in the way, be quick to get that stuff right.
Right.
Let's pray. Father, I pray that you'd help us today. Lord, I pray that you'd bless the things that have been said.